The word that I feel stirred about today is something that's been brewing in me for the last couple weeks, and I want to talk to you today as briefly as I can about persevering praise. If you have your notes, that's what I'm calling this. I'm going to be in two main scriptures. I'm going to be in Psalm 149, and I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm also going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll say those again as I move on this morning. The importance and the necessity, no, the incoming, like it's here, it's happening, we need it, persevering praise, the corporate armor of praise. I believe that the sound that is coming in this great awakening and revival that we're experiencing is not the sound that's coming from the stage, it's the sound that's coming from the people. And that's why I want to talk to you today about persevering praise. It's not about the pedestal, the stage, the musicians, it's not about a person, it's not about what people can assemble and put together, it's the people that assemble and bring forth praise in response to the Lord. And I just want this to be a message that resonates with this house, that we step into a persevering praise like never before. Jane Hammond was here a year and a half ago in October, and she did this. She taught several times that weekend, but she had this five-minute excerpt, this five-minute moment where she talked about the shout of God's people. And so I'm going to draw from that teaching. I've listened to it probably 10 times this week because I was taken back to that moment. I've never forgot it. Can't remember any of the sessions from that weekend. I can't remember the name of the conference, but I remember when Jane Hammond spoke about this shout, the importance of shouting. And so I'm gonna reference her the first time, and then the message is mine. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about what she brought up about shouting, and the importance of releasing a sound of praise. It's not about the team. It's not about worship leaders. It's not about a band. It's about your persevering praise. It's about you releasing the sound that's in your heart. So go with me right away to Psalm 149, verse 5 through 9. Psalm 149. It says, starting in verse 5, it says, "His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praise," some translations say shouted praises, "will rise even when others sleep. God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war." Their shouted praises are their weapons of war. "These warring weapons will bring vengeance on the nations and every resistant power, to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment decreed against their enemies. This is the honor he gives to all his godly lovers. Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Literally says that, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and I agree. So I was reading out of the Passion Translation there. Love that version of Psalm 149. Their shouted praises are their weapons of warfare. So the importance of not just singing songs and singing praises and shouting praises. God does not want you to shout just because he said so, so that he can hear you guys make a bunch of noise. That's not why. There's something that shouting does to us on a physiological level, on a neurological level. So I want to unpack that a little bit. So scientifically, this is what shouting, yelling, screaming does for us. It actually releases an endorphin in our brains. You guys know what endorphins are? They help to balance out it's a feel good, right? Serotonin. It helps to balance out things like anxiety, fear, worry, stress. Am I talking to anybody today? When you shout, it releases those things. And so one of the things that it does physically for our bodies is it increases personal physical strength. So that's point number one. It increases personal physical strength. So I dove into this a little bit further as well, and Jane has as well. She did a study on this. It says shouting can add to your strength. There have been proven benefits of shouting, and it's even been an ancient Chinese medicine, like ritual, like thing, where they would shout because it actually does something to your body. But how many of you know it didn't come from ancient Chinese rituals, right? It's actually something that our body does for us. A quick yell or grunt before an exercise can literally increase your strength. That's why you hear weightlifters, you ever see tennis players, right, when they're playing tennis, and whenever they're about to hit, hit their racket into the ball, you hear that grunt. They actually say that for tennis players, they did a scientific study where tennis players that don't grunt and tennis players that do grunt, it shows that it increases their grip strength by 10% when they grunt and when they shout. Sometimes it's like a full-on, kind of makes it hard to watch tennis. It's a little distracting if you're not used to it. But if you're used to watching tennis, you're not even thinking about it, that it's actually happening every single hit. There was a study in mixed martial arts where there's something called I hope I'm pronouncing this right. It's called a kiop, which is like a grunt or a vocalization, kind of a shout. And it's something that happens really quickly. And they say that it increases your hand strength by 7% when you do this shout, when they studied this scientifically. So it actually empowers and strengthens your physical body. And here's another point. It gives a strength in community when you shout together, okay? I'm sure you guys can visualize an army, a battle cry. In sports, when they come out and they're shouting, it's literally like unifying them. If y'all ever heard of the haka in rugby, they have this. I think it's the New Zealand All Blacks have this a chant that they do, and it's like this intense, yelling and shouting, and it's like actually unifies people. Celebrations, right? When we celebrate as sports fans, or when we celebrate for one another for a birthday, or something happens and we yell together, it's like, yes! There's actually some kind of chemistry and like super physiological thing that's happening in that, where endorphins are being released and it's actually bringing together, it's making people more one. I read this. It's also worth considering that other activities, such as singing in a choir, could have a similar effect. And indeed, singing has been shown to overlap with yelling, screaming, in the beneficial effects. This bonding can lead to the release of feel-good hormones, endorphins, and oxytocin in your brain. God designed us that way. He designed us that way. Another thing it does is it relieves stress. So because of these hormones that are being released on a neurological level, it relieves stress. So these hormones that are being released into our central nervous system. So when we're anxious, when we're stressed, when we have lots of worry, when we have fear, like our central nervous system is disrupted. That's what that feels like on a physiological level. And these endorphins that are released help to balance that. They help to stabilize that. And so that burning desire you have to scream when you're angry is natural. And stifling that impulse isn't very healthy. I read that in some of the research this week. It can help release tension in the muscles and result in a release of endorphins in the central nervous system. which can lead to reduction of pain and increase of pleasure. It combats anxiety, fear, stress, and loneliness. Think about the effect of that natural response, that when we're angry or when we're upset or when, you know, you naturally want to yell or scream, and imagine we're suppressing that so much. You need to be dignified. You need to, you know, imagine how much you're suppressing by not releasing those endorphins and helping your body and your central nervous system balance itself out. The reverse of this, all right, it's about to get fascinating. The reverse of this is from a study also showed that while it might feel great to you, keep in mind that your screaming could have negative effects on others who hear it. So when you yell or when you scream, it makes other people stressful, right? Because we're wired to, like, when we hear something, it's like, oh, we got to respond to it. And so it can stress other people out. Hold up, just put that in a bookmark, okay? Now, I thought that was really considerate of them to include that in their research, because they're like, shouting is great, and it's not great. Be careful. Do it when it's appropriate. But your sound in the natural has a sound in the spiritual. Are you seeing where I'm going here? So your shout that can cause stress, literally in the research, to other people that hear it. Imagine it in the spiritual, what's happening when you shout your praise and what it's doing to disrupt and stress the enemy out. That's the importance there. Be it darkness or fear or anxiety on the inside of you that's coming, right? You're disrupting that. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing, don't worry about tomorrow, all of those things. Some of those things can be dealt with by harnessing your praise, harnessing your inner shout to balance that out. But also your voice has a sound in heaven. We'll get to that in a little bit. So whether it be the darkness inside of you or the fear or the worry, or whether it be the darkness of the gates of hell and the principalities that reign in our region, your voice is important. And remember, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, right? I like this in Psalm 47:1. It says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. So it's biblical to shout. It's because God doesn't want you to shout so he can hear you make a racket. He wants you to shout to help you get set free. He wants you to shout for you so that the things that happen to our body when we shout happen. He wants you to shout because the sound released will combat the negative, destructive, oppressive thoughts and emotions that you're facing. And since our battle's not flesh and blood, the sound you release in the natural carries a weight in the spiritual. So that's where we get to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, where it says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is why your voice has a sound in heaven. Your shout has a sound in heaven for the pulling down of strongholds. So what about every thought captive? Every thought. Take every thought captive. This is also what I would say shouting does, is it takes every thought captive. Simply confessing takes every thought captive. You want me to give you an example? I'm going to need someone. let me use Pamela. All right, Pamela. I want to have you count to 10 in your head, nice and slow, and then just go after it. What's your maiden name? Linder. What number did you get to? 10. You got to 10. All right. Count to 20 really slow. Do you have a middle name? Yeah. Now, what number did you get to? 4. See, she had to stop counting in order to answer me, because when I asked her another question, she had to disrupt one thought in order to attempt to confess another thought. The way you rule over your thoughts is through confession. So when we have thoughts in the battlefield of our mind, we have to confess with our mouth the truth of God. You see what I'm saying? So the way you take every thought captive is through confession. So the memorized word of God, the truth of God, beginning to open your mouth, you will automatically cause your other thoughts to be disrupted so that you can speak the truth of God. Is anyone following along with me? So I'm going to read you a scripture. You can go with me to Ephesians 6:12, where it talks about the armor of God. This is the other place where it talks about we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So I found that fascinating. Some of y'all might not have known that 1 Corinthians 10 talks about we don't war against flesh and blood, and so does Ephesians 6. Both places. So in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." I'm going to pause right there and go back to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, where it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Bringing those. So how do we do this? This is a strategy. I'm giving you a strategy. That's really all I'm here today to do, is to give you a strategy. How do we take every thought captive, disrupt the lies of the enemy, disrupt our flesh, and disrupt what's happening in the battlefield of our mind? It says, continues in Ephesians 6. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, and fasten on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Okay, so this is my message. Persevering praise. With all perseverance. When you've done all that you can do to stand, then stand. Okay? And we need the armor of God. And I love this poetic imagery, this narrative. It gives us images in our mind to think of the shoes, be ready with the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, right? We have this imagery. But if you dive into each of these things and how to practically activate each of them, let me read them back to you. How do we actually put on the truth of God? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? So it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual powers. So it says, stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. How do you fasten on the belt of truth? You confess truth. You memorize truth. You disrupt the enemy, the thoughts, with the belt of truth, which is speaking truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, how do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You confess who you are because of him. That's what righteousness is. Right relationship with God, right standing with God, right? So you declare, you confess who you are because of him, what your position is in God. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. As shoes for your feet, the gospel of peace, confessing the work of Christ. The gospel, confessing the gospel message. What is the gospel message? Can you confess it with your lips? Speak the gospel message, what Christ has done. Righteousness is what he's done for me because of his sacrifice. The gospel is, what did he do? We have to know these things, and there's scriptures that can be tied to each of these things, but it's all through confession. With which you can extinguish all, oh wait, I missed one. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, a confession of faith, my hope is in him, confessing your faith. And by doing this, you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So how do you extinguish the darts of the evil one? Confession. Because you know that those darts are right here. Your mind, your thoughts. You're battling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that are thoughts in your mind. How do you disrupt a thought process? Confess. Confession. Use your lips. And take up the helmet of salvation. Confessing salvation, thanksgiving. What has he done? As all of this is the gospel. All of this is Jesus. How do we confess our salvation? How do we say our salvation? Disrupt those thoughts by confessing salvation and thanksgiving. And then I love the last one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it's all one sentence. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. How do you pray at all times in the Spirit? With your lips, with your confession. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, confessing the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Disrupt your thoughts by praying in the Spirit. This is a tool. This is a weapon with all prayer and supplication. Now he says in his final sentence, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Y'all, this is our persevering praise, the confession of his truth, of righteousness, of faith, of salvation. The armor of God is appropriated through confession. Using your words, memorizing scripture, the truth of God, so that when the lies of the enemy come, and when the thoughts are raging, we use confession to disrupt our thought pattern. And all of this shows us that there are things we do in the natural that actually have an effect in the spiritual. Okay? Our lips and actual confession is something that's happening in the natural, but it has an effect in the spiritual. Your voice has a voice in heaven. Let's put it that way. Your natural voice has a voice in heaven. Did you know your money has a voice in heaven? Okay? Clay teaches that. Your sacrifice, your offering, your surrender has a voice in heaven. Your authority in Christ has a voice in heaven. Your worship has a voice in heaven. None of this is new to us, but it's this revelation of the armor of God and confession, and then tie everything I said at the beginning about shouting and what it does to us on a neurological level. All of those things are our weapons to combat, to pull down strongholds, to disrupt thoughts, and to have persevering praise. And it's not just your voice having a sound in heaven, heard by angels in the heart of God, but in the heavenly realms where we wage war against powers and principalities. your voice that has a voice in heaven disrupts demonic strongholds. If you look at Acts 19 as a quick reference, Paul is doing miracles in the name of Jesus. And there's even like, that's where it says they're cutting off the garments and they're actually placing it on people and people are getting healed. And the sons of Sceva do that. And they take they're taking the garments and they're laying them on people and people are getting healed. And then a demon speaks up and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? How did this demon know who Jesus was and know who Paul was, but he was like, who are you? Because your voice has a sound in heaven. I wonder if your voice has a sound in the heavens, and if it's covered in authority, and if it's covered in persevering praise. Because this demon said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. I know Paul's authority, but who are you? Lord, let that not be me. That the demonic entities and that the heavenlies don't know my voice. Ooh. Confession. We have to choose to confess. And when I'm saying confession, I'm talking about just speaking with our lips. Confess with your mouth the word of God, the truth of God. This is how we combat. And so that's really the message that I have today is, if I take it all the way back to what I told you at the beginning, I believe in this next move of God that we're going to see. The sound, the worship sound that we're going to hear is that is going to be disrupting things in the heavenlies. It's not the one coming from the stage. It's the one coming from the people of God. It's going to come from the hunger of people that are going to take authority and realize that their voice has a voice in the heavens to pull down strongholds and to disrupt what the enemy's trying to do. And I want to tell you, City Gate, in this house, that your voice, your persevering praise is needed now more than ever. We need your worship. Your family needs your worship. Your prodigals need your shout, your declaration. And when you can shout all day in your prayer closet. That's amazing. You can shout in your home. But when we come together to shout, something happens. Our bodies are designed to release these endorphins, these hormones that actually balance out what we've come in here with, the stress or the anxiety or the weariness or guess what, the fatigue. I've played a lot of sports in my day growing up, and I went through a season where I played some rugby in my early 30s, and I can't believe I said that, early 30s. Am I getting old? Nah, I'm still young. But I could come to a practice, a sports practice, and be like, oh, man, I'm tired. But as soon as we started doing some kind of engagement, grunting, shouting, it's like all that just balances itself out because your body starts to release the hormones and the chemicals. So we have to do the things in the natural that God designed us to do. That's why he tells us to shout. So I'll end it by saying this probably for the third time. God doesn't want you to shout so he can just hear you make a bunch of noise. And if I say, let's shout unto God, it's not so that I can hear you. So that I can be like, are we here this morning? Do you guys like the song? Are we doing okay? It's not so that I can hear you or so that God can hear you. It's because your shout does something in the natural and it does something in the spiritual. We need to be a house that shouts. We need to be a house that shouts for our cities. We need to be a house that shouts for our families. We are a house that shouts for the nation. Your voice in the natural has a voice in the spiritual that pulls things down. And so I want to do this as we end. Let's all stand to our feet. And let's get some endorphins released in our brain. This is the benediction, actually. This is the benediction. It's not, Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, it feels so good. No, let me help you feel really good. We're going to shout, and then we're going to go out of here running through a wall. Because that's what shouting does for us. On a neurological level, it does that for us. But when we shout together, and when you shout with a spiritual sound, with victory, okay? And that's what I mean by the confession of the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, right? When you have those things and you're confessing the truth of God, victory is mine. I am a child of God. When we sing like we sang this morning, let our shout be an anthem. Your renown fills the skies. We are here for you. When you praise God, he stands up. That's what when you praise God, he abides on the praises of his people. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. That's what happens when you praise. When you praise, God arises. When you praise, God stands up. Because he goes, oh, yep, here we go. We're doing this. There's the shouts. That God, that's how he's designed. He's not designed. That's who he is, and that's how we're designed, is to do this praise thing. So I want to leave you with a persevering praise word. That when you're in your home, lift your voice and shout over your property. Lift your voice and shout over your neighborhood, because it's doing something in the spirit. Shout over your prodigals. Shout over America. Shout over Memphis. Shout over DeSoto County. And watch God arise and his enemies be scattered. I believe that we live in the favor of God because of our worship response. When we open our mouth and don't just sit and go, okay, I love you. I love you. I'm reading your word. I'm spending time with you. But when we stand up and we say, yes, Lord, and we agree with him and we use our voice to confess and shout to God. Can we shout this morning as a benediction? I want you to shout this morning for let's just go for a solid minute and shout before the Lord and confess the truth of God. Shout hallelujah, shout faith, whatever it is. Dan, what do you got for me? Come on.
This morning, Carissa made mention that during the conference y'all had, that the minister that came in said when he came into Memphis, he felt something. He felt the sound. That's exciting to me because I've been around here a long time, and a lot of the prophetic people that come into Memphis will say just the opposite, that they feel a real oppression when they get here. So that's exciting to me because there's something happening. And this is part of it. We need to continue.
And I'll become even more undignified than this. I was wild and undignified on Friday night when we worshiped together. I lost my voice. So I want you to not care. Get undignified before the Lord and lift up your shout in this place for 1 minute. 1, 2, 3, shout. Let the sound of God arise and let his enemies be scattered. God arise and let your enemies be scattered. Yeah! Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Let that be your benediction. To shout unto God. I don't know if you felt something right there. That was, the glory was on that. God wants you to use your voice from the natural into the spiritual. It carries a sound in the heavenlies to disrupt the plan of the enemy. Now, our job as an apostolic people, a prophetic people, is to have strategies like this, to know truth, to know authority, and to stand with our voices because it has a sound in the heavens. Amen. Lord, thank you for the strategy. Thank you for the shout. God, thank you that you've designed us, you designed our bodies to do this. You have given us everything we need for life and godliness. You have given us your word. You have given us your spirit. You have given us your revelation truth. God, let us take it and declare it. God, let this be our benediction. From all the endorphins that were released neurologically in this place, but from the sound of heaven, God, heaven heard our cry, and the enemy has been scattered. God has arisen and stood to his feet. Can you say amen? Amen.